Great singing. You may be seated. While you're being seated, three people tell us, when did Jesus come into your heart? January 1st, 2001, middle section. May 16th, 1973, the far right section. What was that again? September 30th, 1998. I hope you never get over the time when Jesus came into your heart. Brother Dave Velasquez is going to come and share the Word of God with us. I hope you have your Bible open and ready. So thankful for, again, he and his wife and their work with our Spanish ministry. And he's going to share the Word of God with us at this time. Thank you.
All right, very good. Grateful to have God's word in our hand tonight. Yes. Oh, is it not on? That's okay. This is a new mic. Never worked with this one before. So you can blame Brother Bob. He gave it to me.
Are we good? All right.
Luke chapter 19, we are thankful to have God's word with us tonight. I'm thankful to be a member of Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church, and not because of its facilities, although the facilities here are really wonderful, not because of its location, although East Tennessee is a wonderful place. I'm sure many of you can agree with that. My wife might favor the northern part of this country a little bit more. She's from New Jersey, for some of you who may not know, but not because of its location. But because of the opportunity that we have here to serve. Let me say that again. Because of the opportunity that we have here to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? It's a place where God's word is faithfully preached every week. And I can tell you that there's a lot of places that you can go to, not even maybe 2 miles down from the road, and you'll find other places where God's word isn't the main focus. But in this church, it is. It's a place where people love and seek God. Now, that doesn't mean that a church is without its problems or without its, flaws, and that's because we're all flawed people. As a matter of fact, I've heard pastors say before that if you ever find the perfect church, what do they say? Don't join it, because you'll ruin it. And that's the truth. We're flawed people. We're not perfect. But we're sinners saved by grace. And as sinners who are saved by grace, let it be God's grace that helps us work together, no matter what's going on around us, to seek first and foremost God's glory. Amen? Secondly, the furtherance of His gospel. So we can all agree on that. I think we can definitely say that the brightest days of this church are still ahead, as long as we stick to those two things. I'm thankful also for our pastor. I hope that we are all praying for our pastor as he's preaching this week at a camp. And by show of hands, how many of you attended some type of Bible camp sometime in your youth? Yeah, okay, wow, that's pretty much almost everybody here. So how many of you have very fond memories of camp? How many of you not so fond? I'm just kidding. You can keep your hands to yourselves there. I love camp time. I can't tell you so many stories that we had, some involving a camp counselor getting a fire extinguisher to his face, some involving people taking a mattress and throwing it into a pool, but most importantly, God's word being preached. That's the most important thing. And I remember God changing my life at camp. And for those of you who want to know more about the fire extinguisher and the mattress, feel free to speak with me after the service. I'll be happy to regale you with those details. Nonetheless, we're in Luke chapter 19. And the Bible says, beginning in verse number 1, "And Jesus entered and passed through Jericho, and behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich. And he sought to see Jesus who he was. And could not for the press, because he was little of stature. And he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said to him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. And he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all murmured, saying that he was gone to be guest with a man that is a sinner. And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor, and if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. And Jesus said unto him, This day is salvation come to this house, for so much as he is also a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. I love this passage. I love this passage because it's one of the very first passages you probably learn about as a kid in Sunday school. How many of you can remember singing, Zacchaeus was a wee little man. We all know the song. We all know how he climbed up in the sycamore tree. We all know how he desired to see the Lord and how God orchestrated all that day. And I can imagine, and it's important that when we read God's word, that we take the time to put ourselves in those shoes, to put ourselves in that scenario. I'm currently reading a book called Bible Manners and Customs. And it's a really old book, and it is falling apart, and I am loving every bit of it because I'm realizing and I'm learning again, this isn't just any other book. This isn't a fairy tale, as some people might say. This isn't something that we happen to have on our nightstand or on our desk. This is a book filled with real people who had a real experience with God. And God preserved those experiences so that we might know him better. And so what can we learn from Zacchaeus tonight? What can we learn from Zacchaeus' interaction with the Lord Jesus Christ? I want you to picture Zacchaeus now after he had been saved, out in the community, still possibly a publican, still maybe a tax collector, whatever he was doing after he had come to know the Lord Jesus Christ. And everybody saw that something was different about him and his family. And someone might have come to him and said, Zacchaeus, can you tell me what is different about you? There's something different. We notice that you're not the same greedy rich guy that used to go around town and bothering people and looking to see how you can further yourself and further your status. What is different about you? And I want us to work our way back from when he got saved to the beginning and what happened there. Sometimes it's important for us to remember how we got here. Go back to where it started. And so first, I want to look and ask the question, what happened? This person, maybe you're interviewing Zacchaeus at that time, perhaps you're a neighbor, and you ask him, what happened? And Zacchaeus confidently can tell you, well, I got saved. Aren't you glad that if you know the Lord Jesus Christ tonight, that if somebody asked you, what happened? I used to know you when you were in high school. Something's different about you. I used to know you when you were such a horrible kid in elementary school, and what happened to you? Well, I got saved. I am forgiven of my sins. And the Bible quickly reminds us, if we can all turn to 2 Peter chapter 1, please. 2 Peter chapter 1. Verse number 5 says, And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind, and he cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. I was thinking about what Pastor preached the other day. He was talking about rejoicing in your salvation, remembering that salvation. And Zacchaeus can testify, and he said, well, let me tell you what happened, and start rejoicing in his salvation. What happened to you, Zacchaeus? Well, I got saved. I've been forgiven of my sins. And perhaps your next question might be, well, when did this happen? I need to know, Zacchaeus, can you tell me, when did this happen? And he'll quickly tell you, well, it happened when the Son of God, Jesus Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ, came to my house. Look what the Bible says back in Luke chapter 19. The Lord Jesus says here, He sees Zacchaeus in the tree. In verse number 5, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. Can you remember that time? Can you remember when it was that you became saved? And you remember the time that you repented of your sins, and because of that day, your heart was changed? Can you remember that sweet time when the Holy Spirit convicted you of your sin and you realized, I'm a sinner. And because I'm a sinner, I'm in need of a Savior. You might ask Zacchaeus, when did that happen? Well, what happened when Jesus Christ came to my house? Not only did he come to my house, but he showed me how I could have a relationship with God. Well, how did that happen? How did that happen, Zacchaeus? How did that happen? And this is really where I want to focus. You see, the Bible is a book of detail. And I told you I've been reading this book. And recently, we took a trip to New Jersey. And has anybody here ever been to New Jersey, by the way? Can you raise your hand? Honey, I'm sorry. Some people are not wanting to admit very quickly that they've been there. Well, in New Jersey, of course, we flew there so we don't have a car, so we had to borrow somebody's car. Well, as many of you know, sometimes borrowing a car isn't always the best thing for you because you can try to be as cautious as you can, and without fail, something is probably going to happen to that car. So we borrowed the car. We were giving it back to a friend from the church that next day, and we parked the car, leave it at their house, and we were doing something there after dinner. We go out. I said, oh, honey, I need to get my wallet out of the glove compartment. No problem. Take out the key fob. Oh, car's not blinking. Okay, no problem. We open the door. Usually there's a light that comes on when you open the door. It's not turning on. Okay, well, let's see if the car will turn on. Well, guess what the car doesn't do? It doesn't turn on. Of course, the car doesn't turn on. And because the car doesn't turn on, we think, well, it's probably just the battery. No big deal. We'll just jump the car, right? What could possibly go wrong? If you don't know me, I'm a very forgetful person. Since I've had a car and since I've started driving, I've left the lights on my car many times. I've had to jump a car many times. This is nothing new. We bring her brother's car around, and we're going to jump it. And if you've ever jumped a car before, you should know red goes to red, and the black goes to the black, or sometimes there's no color. But at least you know red goes to red. And I don't know what happened, but remember I told you that the Bible is a book of detail, and our God cares about the details, so much so that he made us people of detail. Now, some of us are more observant to detail than others, and in which case, that evening, I was not in that percentage that was observant of details. Because, as you can imagine, you know, we turn the car on, and her youth pastor's trying to turn the car on, and it's not, the engine's not running. And next thing, it was a little chilly, and I see some smoke coming up from the engine. I thought, oh, well, the car's on. It must be heat that's radiating from the car. No big deal. And next thing I know, we shine a flashlight, and the jumper cables are melting. Now, those of you who do work with cars know that it's not a good idea to cross the wires. I fried the battery. So, all that to say that it's amazing how these little details really matter. Wouldn't you agree that the details matter? Wouldn't you agree that when we take time to pay attention to details, things come out so much better and we get much better experiences from them and we get so much more? I really wish, as a matter of fact, I $130 wish that I would have paid attention to the details that evening. If you feel sorry for me, there's an offering bucket, I'm sure, at the end of the service. Feel free to make that out to our car budget. Why are we talking about details? Luke chapter 19, if you were to ask Zacchaeus, what happened to you? You got saved. When did it happen? When Jesus came to my house. Well, how did Jesus wind up at your house? Well, let me tell you how Jesus wound up at my house. He wound up at my house because he saw me in a tree. And the reason he saw me in a tree is because I am a short man. I'm a little man. I can resonate with that as far as the height thing. And I probably would have had to have climbed that tree too. What's so special? Why does God take the time to tell us that there's a tree? Why does he even take the time to tell us that it's a sycamore tree? I was reading this, and this really jumped out at me. Now, the Bible says here, can we read verse number 2? And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, who was chief among the, what's the next word? Publicans. And he was what? Rich. If you don't know what a publican is a tax collector. Now, how many of you love taxes? Would you raise your hand? No, nobody loves taxes, right? And especially in this time, if you were a Hebrew, if you were a Jew and you were a tax collector, the other Jews in your community would view you as a traitor because you were working for the Roman government. You were working for a different government. And most of the time, these tax collectors wouldn't just come and take the normal taxes. They might come to your house and say, well, this is how much you owe, and by the way, I'm going to need a little extra. And that little extra they would take and they would pocket and keep for themselves. Zacchaeus wasn't just a publican, he was chief among the publicans. He was a man that made sure that he would come out on top. He was a man that made sure that he was going to do whatever was necessary to come out ahead financially. You think about Zacchaeus, and he's a rich man. Remember what Jesus said about the rich a little bit earlier? He said it was really hard for rich people to enter into the kingdom of heaven. As a matter of fact, he said it's easier for a camel to do what? Enter in through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of heaven. This was the type of preaching that Jesus did, and no doubt Zacchaeus probably heard all the different things that Jesus had done throughout the land, and he was curious. Now remember, he's a rich man, and he gets to the crowd, but the Bible says the crowd was great, and he couldn't see. I want you to notice three things. First, we see his haste. The Bible says here, he sought to see Jesus in verse number 3. In verse number 4, he ran. He ran. If you know that in this time, for the Jewish people, if you're an adult, if you're a man, one of the things you do not do, especially if you're a man of status, if you're Zacchaeus and you're rich, you've gotten ahead, you're high in society, you do not run. That's a sign that's shameful for a man to do that. You'd probably be looked at funny. For him, he made haste. It did not matter for him. He made haste because he knew that someone was coming that was worth noticing. By the way, in your Christian life, I'm sure people might ask you, you can say, yes, I'm saved. I'm sure you might be able to point to the time when it happened. But is it still true today that the haste that you made that day to be saved, is it still the same haste you make to make sure that you are close enough to Jesus, to make sure that Jesus sees you and you see him? Do you still make that same haste? Because Zacchaeus made that haste that day. Notice not also his haste, notice his humility. And behold, there was a man, Zacchaeus, who was chief among the publicans, and he was rich. Verse number 4, and he ran before, and he climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him. He climbed up in a sycamore tree. I learned the other day that a sycamore tree is an interesting tree because it's not like the sycamore trees that we have here. A sycamore tree over there is a tree that's very, there's a lot of them. There's plentiful of these sycamore trees. However, the fruit that it produces is an interesting fruit. It's a fruit that is really sour. So in other words, it's not your first pick. Right? You don't go and you think, man, I can't wait to eat this sweet, delicious fruit of this sycamore tree. No, it's different. This is a sour. It can be bitter sometimes. Actually, so much so that sycamore trees were identified with the poor. Zacchaeus was rich. This tree was identified with the poor. Poor people ate from that tree. Poor people would gather around that tree. Poor people are the ones, they were the ones who would seek nourishment from this tree. And Zacchaeus, rich Zacchaeus, was humble enough. And he said, you know what? Let me tell you how it happened. The Lord humbled me. I would have liked to have been taller. Couldn't have been taller that day. So I got up in that tree so that I could see Jesus. Now let me ask you something. Isn't it strange how often in our time, throughout our life and in our days, we often ask God. As Christians, we say, God, I want to see you. I want to know your will. I want to be close to you. But when it comes time to recognize the sycamore trees that God's placed in our life, in other words, the things that might humble us, the thing that we view as, that's not for me. And we say, no, it's not for me. God, I want to see you, but these things that you've placed in my life that might get me closer to you, that's not for me. How often do we do that? How often does God place not just a circumstance in our life, perhaps maybe somebody in our life that we resist and we might think, ah, that's not for me. I don't identify with that. I know my lane. I know where I need to stay. This is the people that I associate with. This is my group. This is what I do. This is my title. This is my job. God, you might be trying to teach me something. You might be trying to use this to get me closer to you. But I don't want to use that. Friends, it's time that I want to share with you my heart, because I know that there's so many times in my own life where God's desire for me is just to be close to him. And in that desire to be close to him, he provides a way. But so many times we think, what? Well, my way is better. I think my way is better. Can you imagine Zacchaeus there and him wanting to see Jesus and thinking, man, if only I was a few inches taller. I know I've said that many times in my life. If only I had this, then I would have an advantage. If only this was good for me, if only I could attain this in my life, or if, God, if you would just place this circumstance in my life, things would be so much better. I could then see clearly. I could see what I need. But instead, what happens? God provides a sycamore tree, and we have a choice. What is that choice? Either we take that sycamore tree and we humble ourselves and we climb up, or we walk away from it, missing our opportunity. Zacchaeus, how did that happen? Well, I climbed up in a tree. Why did it happen? Can we go to verse number 10? It's a very familiar verse. The Bible says, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. Zacchaeus, why did this happen to you? Why did this happen to you? Well, really simple. Because it was God's will. And if anybody tells you any different, that it's not God's will for all men to be saved, then they haven't read the Bible that we're reading from tonight. Jesus very clearly says, I've come to seek and to save that which was lost. In the previous passages, Jesus is telling parables about the lost sheep, and he talks about the lost coin, and he talks about how important it is to God that that which was lost be found. And it's so important for us to recognize, for us to know, that if this is why Jesus has come, if this is why this happened to Zacchaeus, for Jesus to come to seek and to save that which was lost, then it's no different for us. It's no different for us. Zacchaeus, why did this happen? It's interesting that if we read verse number 1, the Bible says, and Jesus entered and passed through which city? Jericho. Yes, Luke chapter 19, verse number 1. And Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. Now, Jericho is an interesting city, because if you'll remember in the Old Testament, Jericho was the very first place that the children of Israel conquered after they had crossed the River Jordan. And what was so special about Jericho is it had these giant walls. Walls that I'm sure many of the Israelites looked and thought, God wants us to conquer what? We're going there? That's impossible. And yet, God that day brought down the walls to a city. And now we fast forward to the New Testament, and we see God the Son that day come to Jericho, not to bring down the walls of a city, but to bring down the walls of the sin in a man's heart. By the way, God was successful that day. He saved Zacchaeus. Jesus saved Zacchaeus that day. We know this in verse number 8. The Bible says, "And Zacchaeus stood," this is after the Lord was in his home, "and said unto the Lord, Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor, and I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold." He shows his repentance. Jesus' response says, "This day is salvation come to this house." Zacchaeus, by humbling himself, by taking the faith to get up in that tree and try to see Jesus, try to find Jesus, bring salvation not only to his own heart, but to his home. And I know, I'm sure, that if I were to ask you, how many of you would you say you were saved tonight? Brother Bob, right before the service, was asking folks to testify of when they came to know the Lord. I'm sure most everybody in this room would raise their hand. The message tonight is an invitation, if you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ, to come to him, to know him as your Savior. To not let the things that might be hindering you from to come to him, do not let those things hinder you, but to finally put your faith and trust him. But also, if you're a believer, if you claim to know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, if tonight you say, yes, I am one of God's children, yes, I have been reborn, then to ask yourself, what happened to me? Well, I'm saved. When did that happen? Perhaps you can point to the time when that happened. You may not know the exact date, you may not know the exact time, but you know in your heart when it happened. To ask yourself, how did that happen? Was it something that you did? Was it something that you decided, you know what, I'm just going to be a better person, and that's how I'm going to be saved? No. How did it happen? It was the time, for the first time, you saw Jesus. He had been seeking you. As a matter of fact, he says here, the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. And it was that time that you saw him. Ask yourself why it happened. And Jesus explains why in verse number 10. And if we think about all those things, can we ask ourselves this then? When it comes time for us to be humbled, when it comes time and God puts something in our life that's maybe a little inconvenient, do you think it was inconvenient for Zacchaeus that day to be the short guy in the crowd? Probably. Do you think it was inconvenient for Zacchaeus to be a very rich man, a very prominent man, and have to run? Probably. Do you think it was inconvenient for him to have to climb up like a school child in a tree, a sycamore tree at that? Probably. But you know what? It was the very thing that God used to bring him closer to him. Christian, tonight, what is that thing in your life? What is that circumstance? What is that person that maybe you might think, this is inconvenient, maybe a little embarrassed by this, but God is using that thing, he's trying to use that thing to bring you closer to him. Would we bow our heads and close our eyes tonight? As the piano begins to play, I'm wondering if there's anybody tonight who'd be willing to say, you know what? There are some things in my life that God is trying to bring to my attention. There's somebody in my life that I'm trying to ignore, I'm trying to get away from. And God keeps bringing it there. God keeps bringing them there. It's time for me to look at those things that God is trying to bring into my life, and instead of rejecting it, accepting it and saying, God, use this to bring me closer to you. Use this to give me a better vision of you. Isn't that what we all need tonight? A clearer picture of Jesus, a clearer sight of Jesus. If you're not saved this evening, if you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, I would like to invite you to come forward. And don't worry about what anybody else might think. Don't worry about the circumstances in your life that have been a challenge to you. Instead, give yourself over to the Lord, because I can promise you, what Jesus has for you is so much better than the things that you have planned for yourself.
Still with your heads bowed and eyes closed, let's stand together. What has God spoken to your heart about tonight? Brother Velasquez has pled with you several times. If you're here and you've never accepted Christ as your Savior, please do not leave here without trusting Jesus Christ as your Savior, without knowing 100% sure that heaven is your home. Maybe you're not here in the auditorium tonight. Perhaps you're watching online. Please call us if you have any questions. We'd love to take a Bible and share with you over the phone how you can know for sure that heaven is your home. Maybe you're at home and you've got a specific need. Maybe you have a prayer request. Please email those to prayer@brbc.us. We would love to pray specifically for those needs. Folks, I can't help but think about the song that's playing on the piano right now. I have decided to follow Jesus. Have you truly made that decision? Zacchaeus did. So as I plead with you, Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church, let me just refer to each of us as Zacchaeus tonight. Have we decided to follow Jesus? Look this way just for a minute. We are going to sing a few verses of this song, but I can't help but think about the story behind this song. Written by, I don't know the author's name, honestly, but the story is about a young man in India who was a prince over a certain village in India. Came to the point where the chief of the village decided that he wasn't going to put up with this young man who had accepted the God of the Welsh missionary, the missionary that came over from the United Kingdom. So they basically said, "If you don't go against the name of Jesus Christ, we're going to take your life." And he said, "I have decided to follow Jesus." They began to take, and I'm probably butchering this story, but I hope you'll get the main emphasis of it. They began to take his family, his wife, his children. And they said, if you don't denounce the name of Jesus Christ, if you don't go against the name of Jesus Christ, we're going to kill your family right here in front of you. And as they executed his family, he said, I have decided to follow Jesus. There's no turning back. You know, so many times we get to a point like this in a service and we say, oh, it's invitation time and we're going to sing a song. But truthfully, we don't mean it. The words that are coming out of our mouth are not truthful at all. Have you truly decided to follow Jesus? I hope your answer is yes. I hope your answer is no matter what happens. The world behind me, the cross before me, I have decided to follow Jesus Christ. Think about this young Indian prince who said there's no turning back. As his family was being taken right in front of him, I have decided to follow Jesus. Think about Zacchaeus as he's climbing down out of that sycamore tree, humbly going to his house, and Jesus met him there. He decided to follow Jesus. He made it right with his fellow man. Those who he had taken things from, he made it right with them. Let's sing this song all together tonight like we mean it. And if you don't mean it, please don't sing. Let's sing, I have decided to follow Jesus.
I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back,
no turning back. Before we sing that first verse one more time, I'm not trying to manufacture some fake emotion or anything like that. But folks, if it's not real in here, is it going to be real out there? If we can't get excited about what God is doing and the privilege that we have to be a part of that in here, most of the time it's probably not going to happen outside of these walls. Let's sing this first verse one more time and we'll be dismissed with a word of prayer. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back. Just a few announcements before we go. Brother Velasquez, thank you for that message. Appreciate that. As you leave, visitors, again, thank you for being here this evening. Please stop by the Welcome Center. We've got a special gift just to thank you for being here. Church folks, we do have offering buckets available on your way out for your convenience. You can take advantage of that as well. Continue to pray for Pastor as he and his family will be traveling back Saturday. Pray for the Wakefields as they'll be traveling back Saturday as well. And teenagers, make sure you stop by the check-in table to say your verses for Enlist, and that would be great. Let's pray together, and we will be dismissed. Father, we thank you that we can call you our Father. Lord, thank you for this meeting tonight. Thank you for the story about Zacchaeus. Lord, I'm so grateful that you care not only about the multitude, but about the individual. And Father, help us to truly mean what we just sang. Help each of us to truly follow Jesus Christ with our lives. And God, we know that as we say that, as we sing that, that means that things should be different in our workplace tomorrow, in our homes, in our families. Lord, help us to truly follow Jesus in every area of our lives. We love you so much. In Jesus' name we pray. And everyone said, amen. Thank you.